Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie from Manhattan, and you're listening to Soundtrack from WNYC. Under the cover of liars, posing in a pros again, my Toby friends to make returns. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Never offer cover model jobs outside a factory hall.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The new record from Speedy Ortiz is called Foil Deer, and it begins with a minute of jarring, anxious guitar noise, and then a one-liner about getting knifed in the neck. What a great way to capture someone's attention. The Massachusetts band caught our attention back in 2013 when they released their debut, Major Arcana, and they've returned to our studio today to play some of their newest batch of songs. Here is Speedy Ortiz with The Graduates, live on Soundcheck. That's the band Speedy Ortiz live here on Soundcheck with their song The Graduates, which is from their new album called Foil Deer. A live performance here in the studio from Sadie Dupuy, who writes the songs and sings them and plays guitar, with Devin McKnight on guitar and keyboards, Darrell Firm on bass, and Mike Falcone behind the drum kit. Sadie to you and the rest of Speedy Ortiz, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you for having us back, Don.
The graduates, since the last time we saw you, you are now a graduate.
That's true.
With an MFA in poetry.
That's very correct.
So that kind of explains the chapbook-like quality of the lyrics that accompany the physical.
Yeah, we wanted to print a real chapbook with it. So,
Have you done like sort of actual chapbooks of poetry as opposed to lyrics? Do you even distinguish between them?
I do. We've had little chapbooks I've made that I've had in Western Mass and that we brought on tour. And I have a big book ready, but got to figure out where to send it.
So how do you know when you're writing whether this will eventually be a song or a poem?
They're totally different processes for both. If I'm writing a song, usually I have the music first. Mm-hmm. And so I'm writing words to fit that. Whereas if I sit down to write a poem, it's not usually, I've never been able to translate the words into songs.
Right.
So,
and it's never happened that you thought you were writing one and then it turned out you were writing the other?
Sometimes I'll sort of scavenge a line from a poem that I don't think is too great for a song, but usually it's just I'm writing music and then write words to fit that, or a poem just comes on its own.
So a line like, you know, watch your back because baby's so good with a blade, that's a lyric as opposed to a line in a poem.
Yeah, that whole song I wrote like driving around and sang it into a voice recorder like 4 years ago. And I found it when we were working on this album and knew it should be an intro song.
Well, so that was originally intended for the first record,
mm-hmm,
right?
Exactly.
And it would have been the first thing we had heard. Speedy Ortiz. Are there other connections between this album and Major Arcana, the first one?
I don't know if there's any spillover, really, other than that was a little song idea I'd had floating around from 4 years ago.
Right. So, you know, people often wonder why the sophomore jinx happens to so many bands, and very often it's because you've spent, you know, a couple of years being a band before mm-hmm. that first record, and then suddenly something goes right, and now you have a much more limited amount of time to get a second record done. But you actually took a little bit of time to do this record,
right? We took more time in the studio. I think the songwriting was a bit faster this time around, specifically because we're on tour so often now and I can't write anywhere other than in my own bedroom. So most of this writing happened in July, but there were a few stragglers from the previous months.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also, like, we've all played in lots of other bands and I'd been putting out records since I was 16. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I felt like, you know, sometimes like PJ Harvey is always the example that I love because she was like, these are the songs of my entire life and now I have to do a whole new thing that's based on the past year of experience for her second record. This wasn't really that kind of experience for us or for me because we've all put out lots of other records and other projects.
Well, you know, and then eventually, if you look at PJ Harvey's career long enough, you come to something like Let England Shake.
Mm-hmm.
Which is essentially a song cycle about a historic moment. Do you see any of the songs that you've written as kind of thematically linked that way?
I don't know that we've done anything that conceptual, but it's totally likely at some point.
Hmm. Well, and
who knows?
and very often poems will have, you know, a mm-hmm. kind of thematic link to
them.
That's,
in poetry, I'm much more inclined to work in that in that regard.
Now, your dad passed away recently.
That's true, yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Fan of your show.
and somebody who was on the New York music scene,
yeah.
Right? Tell folks about your dad's career.
He worked in A&R for Buddha Records and Z, and he was sort of involved in, he worked with James Chance and a bunch of other New York folks.
So that kind of no wave scene in the late
of it,
70s,
yeah.
early 80s.
He was sort of out of it before the mid-80s, mm-hmm. and I arrived. but that was what he spent most of the 70s doing. He worked a bit doing radio promotions for country radio. He did a lot.
And what did he think of Speedy Ortiz?
Oh, he was into it.
Yeah.
It took him a while, but...
Really? I would think that
he was, you know, he had more of a pop ear, I think, than
working with James Chance.
Well, I don't know that he had the kindest things to say about James Chance, honestly.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, he was into this record, so that's a comforting thing.
Yeah. Now there are moments on. You talked to Pitchfork about like the hip hop influences. There are moments on this record where you can hear that in kind of the interplay of voice, lyric, and melody underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that, you know, we hear? Are we hearing more of it now than we were, say, 2 or 3 years ago in the band?
I don't know that the influence on the songwriting is increased. Just the production has changed for us because we've had more time in the studio. The previous record is very much a live recording, like,
right.
You know, similar to how we're performing in the studio today. We weren't really changing amp setups or pedal setups, and we were all just playing in a big room together and very few overdubs. And it was all done in, like, I think we did 14 songs in 4 days for the first record, whereas this is the same amount of songs over a period of almost a month, which allows you to experiment a bit more with production styles. And
yeah, so it does seem like the sonic palette has kind of broadened.
Expanded, for sure.
The song Raising the Skate is in a great tradition of kind of kiss-off songs, it seems.
Sure.
And you want to do that for us now?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Just because I'll let you kill time dangling me from the quarry doesn't mean that I won't land on my feet. That's 'cause I'm the boss, caller. Play my own right hand.
Speedy Ortiz with their song Raising the Skate, another live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. Sadie Dupuis singing, playing guitar, Mike Falcone behind the drums doing some backing vocals, Darl Firm on bass, Devin McKnight playing guitar as well. And I know, Sadie, that a lot of people in hearing that song, Raising the Skate, have been asking you about the whole, you know, I'm not bossy, I'm the boss.
It's true. It's the one line I didn't write, and it's the one people care the most about. But that's okay. It's a good one.
Yeah, you know, going to the band Bossy campaign, and, you know, even Tina Fey with her bossy pants. Yeah, you know, the whole image of, like, you wouldn't call a guy bossy.
No.
But we feel...
But maybe we should. Yeah. Equal opportunity.
Yep, absolutely. But actually, the line I wanted to ask about was the title, Raising the Skate.
Yeah.
What does that refer to?
I was sort of thinking about the Melanie song, Brand New Key, mm-hmm. Which sort of refers to... It's a, I guess, a sexual innuendo.
Yeah.
You know, about needing someone else's key to adjust your skates.
Well, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got
sort of a cute little song that I love a lot, and I like her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I sort of wanted to use more the thing of adjusting your own skates to be a little bit higher than everyone else, and obviously a pun on raising the stakes.
Right. So the album is full of this kind of often very angular, you know, edge of distortion guitar playing that still has kind of, you know, these kind of hooks to it. So who are your kind of who are the guitarists that you grew up listening to and idolizing?
Favorite guitarists? I was a big fan of Chavez, who are, do you know that band?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are, I think, working on some new stuff now, finally.
Really?
Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, actually.
Ooh, okay.
But, yeah, Chavez are a big influence on all of us, in this band in particular. People have picked up on the Pavement Stephen Malkmus one pretty heavily, but... Yeah. I am a huge fan of Malkmus's guitar playing and songwriting, mm-hmm. So that's been one. But I think a lot of the guitar influences for me were learning to play from reading choral sheet music. Huh. So that sort of, I think, accounts for maybe my interest in stuff that has a lot of key changes or time changes, because I did sing in a sort of classical children's choir for most of my life until I was 16.
The reason I ask about the guitar question is, you know, up until relatively recently, whether you were male or female, the answer would be a series of male guitarists,
mm-hmm.
You know?
I did just name some male guitarists,
yes,
didn't I?
You did. But you are part of a whole generation of women who seem to own the guitar,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's... you know, have sort of claimed it as your own, which seems like it's long overdue, but it finally seems to be happening. Do you look around and see other, you know, shredders out there?
Yeah, and I actually write for the magazine She Shreds, which is a guitar magazine that highlights women players and women who design pedals and who work in music, mm-hmm. guitar and bass.
And there are magazines about women drummers.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Tom. Big fan,
yes,
of that magazine,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Does it feel like there's been a sea change recently, you know, in the girl guitarist thing disappearing and you're just a guitarist?
I think if it were a total sea change, we wouldn't even have to have this conversation.
True.
But certainly I think that the music press and radio in particular had a bit more of an emphasis on highlighting diverse players, not just the status quo, which is, you know,
white male guitar,
guys.
And
I think, you know, it's still, there's still many uphill battles in that regard, but certainly we share bills way more often with women, which is great and affirming. The biggest sticking point right now for many people is festival lineups are still shockingly non-diverse.
Are you guys doing a lot of festivals this summer?
A couple. So we're playing Forecastle in Louisville. We're playing Maha Festival in Omaha. We're doing some sort of out there ones that we haven't been to before. So
okay.
Fun.
Good.
And we're playing. We're very excited. We're playing Solid Sound at Mass Mocha, which is Wilco's festival. So that'll be a nice one to do.
And, that's
and
your
Mass
home,
Mocha is a wonderful museum. So.
That's your home territory,
that's
Western
true.
Mass.
Yeah.
Which I remember from last time, you've been very vocal about, you know, supporting the music scene there. And My Dead Girl is the name of this next song.
Yeah. This is actually one of the songs on the album that's a fairly true story. But the My Dead Girl title is sort of a tongue-in-cheek way of talking about how victimized women are often fetishized in storytelling and in, you know, the men who feel they need to comfort them.
What didn't get your name? Better you fake the truth. Tried to buy an aluminum toy from the booth outside the dojo with a 10-buck coin for your old drawer. Don't even know what you've been up to. And in time you said I never saw the real you. Like a sphinx. Yeah.
Once again, Sadie Dupuy on guitar and vocals, Darryl Firm on bass, Devin McKnight playing guitar, and Mike Falcone behind the drum kit. The new album is called Foil Deer. It is out now. The band is playing Thursday night, July 9th, here in New York at Pier 84 with Waxahachie, and Wednesday, July 22nd at Terminal 5 with Courtney Barnett and Torres in a power-packed triple bill. Congratulations on the new record. It's great to have you guys back with us on Soundcheck today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us back here.